Actually, my name is Larisa Golovko, and the presenter is Anatoly Poznikov. He is in the audience. He just asked me to present afraid of his ability to answer questions in English. Anatoly Poznikov is my father, and he is a professor of Moscow State University, College of Soil Science. He developed and teaches courses on soil electrophysics. And we also organized a company, LandVisor, to apply electrical geophysical methods for soil sand. Electrical geophysical methods basically measure parameters of electromagnetic fields, which are electrical potential, soil conductivity, resistivity, or dielectric constant. And they can be classified on direct current method and alternating current method. Direct current method measure natural electrical fields, it's method of self-potential, and it's the device measuring is Landmapper ERM03, or it can be artificial field, as you all probably aware of. Various technologies machine using four electrode probe, and also Landmapper ERM01 use four electrode probe. And also there's methods electromagnetic induction by geonics or by geometrics ohm mapper or ground penetration radar. All of those methods have similar advantages and limitations. First of all of those methods they're very quick, they're in situ, they're basically non-destructive. But also the limitation, and everybody talks about it, the methods are non-direct. They measure electrical conductivity or resistivity, some electrical parameter which related to different soil properties. So it's basically, this is advantage, so we can evaluate many properties, and it's also a kind of limitation, because in every case that should be carefully understood what is really influences the parameter most, and the method needs interpretation. And soil EC, electrical conductivity, recently became more and more popular in soil science because there are many newly developed technologies by various geonics, LandVisor, and they allow obtaining fast, dense, and accurate GIS-compatible soil EC or electrical resistivity measurements. And soil EC is related to several soil properties which are important to plant growth. And it's used more and more to outline management zones. And modern technologies can measure EC in subsoil in a range of depths essential to plant growth. And I was going to talk about that remote sensing cannot estimate the property at the depths, only a few centimeters, but the previous presentation was very interesting, pointing out that we can evaluate through remote sensing in a regional scale the soil water content in the root zone, which is very interesting, but I would think it's also the plant related in this case, need to be calibrated. EC method can evaluate multiple depths, and I'll talk more about it later in the presentation. And also those sensors measure EC non-destructively, so we can do monitoring, so measuring in the same, in the real condition, the same spot, and used to study anthropogenic changes in soil and other changes. Method that we used is basically EC mapping by four electrode probe and also vertical electric consonding, which allows get multiple depths and see through the soil without any disturbance. We also use non-contact electromagnetic profiling and electrical potential, but due to time limitation, I'm not going to talk about this today. Four electrode principle is well developed. It's 100 years history of the method. It's basically four electrode probes, four electrodes, two A and B, inject electrical current and the potential measured between their M and N electrodes. And then electrical resistivity calculated by voltage divided by current and geometric coefficient, which calculates by this formula for the central symmetric array. NEC, which is normally used in US, is just 1/ER, so it's pretty easy to recalculate. The typical probe used in geophysics and in soil is a Wenner probe, as equal distance between those four electrodes. Also the Schlumberger probe, which distance between M and N is smaller than between A and M, for example. The dipole-dipole is where A and B, the current injecting electrodes on the one side, and then those two are moved along. So after interpretation, the complete 2D image of the subsurface can be obtained. This is a device of Veris. This is four electrodes. And those additional ones, so you can get the two depths. In vertical electrical zoning, there are more electrodes. The farther we spread them, the deeper we can penetrate. So basically, output is the curve of electrical resistivity from soil surface to a certain depth. So many combination of electrodes after interpretation gives us C inside the soil, the curve. This is a geophysical, deep geophysical zoning machine by AGI, and there are several others in Europe and Sweden and France. This is the small unit we develop. It's LandMapper URM01. It's a handheld unit. It can be used for mapping just with this one depth. Probe can be customized to reach down to 5 or 10 meters, or can be very small. You can put it in a greenhouse in pots or measure in soil samples. It also allows to store about 1,000 values, and 9 coefficients can be input, and short vertical electrical zoning profiles can be done with this device. This device is for quick mapping, only measure resistivity. This allows automatic calculation to conductivity and also measure natural electrical potential. We also offer the interpretation software in cooperation with GeoTomo software. But on developing the methods, we also did calibration through last 30 or 40 years, and we developed a theory that, well, electrical parameters, they outline the density of mobile electrical charges in soil, and by that means they can measure amount and the mobility of those charges. So then the soil properties which influence those mobile electrical charges will influence measured electrical properties. This can be salt content, chemical properties, CEC, humus content. So then those properties can be in some cases directly measured, and there's some intrusion of high resistivity such as stones and oil pollution and rocks can be outlined. And also there's property related with physical soil properties, so texture, bulk density, water content, which basically influence the mobility of those charges. There's many applications can be done. If one soil property only changes, this property can be monitored, such as processes of drying, wetting, and freezing melting processes, and solution transport. Also, those methods can be used to map soil properties, which highly influence parameters, such as salinities, which Dr. Corwin was presented today, or stone content and hardpan, oil pollution, and groundwater depths. Also, those properties can evaluate complex effect of many soil properties, and that's what I'm going to present the case today. They can be used to do agricultural mapping and EC-related directed soil sampling. They're in soil genesis studies and do some multiple depth agronomical properties evaluation. This is was done in New Jersey. There's outline of the soil series map in the area, and this is a farm, and we did point samples and interpolated electrical resistivity map in red. You can see that in certain cases it's very well correspond to the soil series maps, and then after that we just collected the soil samples through this certain critical values of resistivity, and then did correlation. In this case, this is a vertical electrical zoning profiles. So resistivity is 400 ohm meter on the top, and then increases in alluvial horizon of a spodosol. You can see that then in subsoil and B horizon, the resistivity very low, conductivity is high, because all their mobile charges are leached down to the subsoil. And the intensity of the alluviation process can be noticed on those curves. Like in spodosol, it's higher resistivity in E horizon, in alpha sol it's less, but still the same shape of the curve. And then it's going down depending on the degree of alluviation. And in mollisol, it's basically slight increase in resistivity is shown in the subsoil because of carbonate precipitation. This is the alpha sol profile. You see the leached horizon. This study was in intensely grown potato field near Moscow. The field is irrigated through the pivot irrigation, and there was 90 location of vertical electrical zoning and 423 multi-depth EC mapping location. Then after width interpretation at 10 centimeter, 30 centimeter, 60 centimeter, and close to 5 meters, those are maps of electrical resistivity derived. From those data, their samples were taken from this depth, and their relationship between electrical resistivity and clay content and coefficient filtration by Horton, the water content on those depths, and field capacity. All those relationships are like exponential type relationship. It's very typical for many soils and other soil properties. From those relationship, those interpolated map was developed. At their 5 meter depth, there is a resistivity map and interpolated soil texture map and filtration coefficient map and field capacity map was created. On resistivity, it's noted that those locations, very high resistivity at 5 meter, probably at the bedrock, then a low resistivity is probably water-saturated clayish type of soil. But this can be done for any depths. It was done for all four depths, this case. So in conclusion, the application of methods to soil science are numerous and can be used to delineate management zones and mapping for many types of soil, such as spodosols, alpha sols, mollisols, and etc. Also can be used to map directly soil salinity or stone content. We use it to do groundwater table mapping monitoring. We monitor drying, wetting, and freezing, melting processes in soils. And also some studies was done to monitor soil water solution movement in soils. And those studies are not limited to the presented cases. And for future information, the books and papers published are mostly in Russian, but I have a CD with the materials in English, and there's also a website, and you can contact me on this email. And it's concluded, and if you have any